Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for the needle artist.
Ooh, I like that, needle artist.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that for a while. Yeah, it's very positive, very uplifting, very. Let's see, things.
Okay.
Things. Mention one more time the new business, Maria, needleartoncharts.com. Needleartoncharts.com. New business getting started. Check her out. Cross stitch, but adding stuff quickly. So check it out. 1-inch fiber talk needle minders are now available on the old website in the shop page. So you can get 1-inch needle minders, and they have a 3/4-inch diameter magnet on the back, and I really like it. Worked out great. They're $8, two or more for $7. The 2-inch are still available at $15, $12.50 each for two or more. And then we also put together a little package where you can buy a 2-inch needle minder and 2 1-inch needle minders for $25. So check it out if you're looking for a needle minder or are a collector. They're available on the website. Postage is included. Marga's shipping those out same day these days, so you'll get them
quick. Go Marga.
Yep. Yeah, it's been fun with the post office because you're mailing magnets. And but Marga was walked in one day to the lobby, and she was just going to drop a couple in the bin rather than go to the counter.
Yeah.
One leapt to the lid of the bin. She had to go to the counter and have the post office guy go in and peel it off the lid.
So funny.
But they're getting there. I give the post office credit. They're getting to people. We've had two people who waited a long time, and we sent them another one, and they got that, and then within a couple of days they got the original one. So the post office has delivered them. So anyway, so check that out. WeTalkFiber.com/shop to get your needle minders. And let's see. Oh, yes, seminar. You were at now a week ago, right?
Yes.
Holy smokes. You were teaching at the seminar, the ANG seminar. Tell me wonderful things. What must have been fun. We already talked about Arlene winning first prize for her gossamer lace thing, so you don't have to talk about that.
Okay. So for those who don't know, it's the American Needlepoint Guild National Seminar. We have it once a year. Next year will be in Tucson in August, which, oh, isn't that a wonderful time to be in Tucson? But whatever, it's a dry heat, and it'll be great. They showed us a video of the venue, and they have a lovely pool with a swim-up bar. So,
oh.
Yeah, Curdy and I are like, okay, we're good.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Okay, so we were in Houston, and we were at the Marriott Marquis, which is across the street from Minute Maid Park. So the Astros seminar ended on Monday, and the Astros returned from a road trip on Monday night, so several of the seminar attendees went over to the Astros game,
Ooh. Which
was really cool. And I did not go. For teachers, the seminar experience is a little bit different. Okay, so for an attendee, they go to class. They have this lovely area where you can sit and stitch 24 hours a day, and it was all natural light and these beautiful tables. And there's banquets, and there's the exhibit, and silent auction. The teachers don't get to do any of that. So, because we're teaching, and then we have meetings, and then we're exhausted. And so, but seminar is still a wonderful experience. And the Marriott Marquis has a Texas-shaped lazy river terrace pool thing. And so at lunchtime and in the evenings when we could, we all changed into our swimsuits and we went floated along.
There we go. There we
Texas
go.
State Lazy River, and swam in the pool and in the hot tub, and just a beautiful area to be. It was really lovely. Hotel was great. The opening banquet was a fiesta with Mexican food buffet, and they had a country western band entertainment. It was all really good. It's fun to see people that you haven't seen for a year. You have 2 hours for lunch. And so a lot of times we would go and grab a sandwich and then go up to our room and take a nap.
Sure. Why not?
Because I'm just telling you, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting even for the attendees, because if they take 5 days of classes, that's 30 hours of stitching in 5 days.
Yeah. In addition, I assume people are also stitching in the evening and otherwise.
I always tell my students, don't stitch tonight. Go out, go to a restaurant, find something to do, go float in the pool, meet up with a friend, have an adult beverage, relax, chill. There's no homework in my classes. I don't want you stitching at night. They all leave class every day. They take their canvas with them thinking, I'm going to stitch tonight. They all come back and their canvas looks exactly the way it did when they left.
Reality set in.
But, you know, when you stitch for six, most of us, when you think about it, most of us will stitch for an hour, two, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
And we're up and down and we're moving around. Okay, so at seminar, you have a 3 hour in the morning, 3 hour in the afternoon, 3 hour the next day, 3 hour the next afternoon, and that goes on continually.
Yeah.
And I could just tell the freshness from the first day of seminar and their excitement level to the last day of seminar. And they're like, can we just go home because we're tired?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, they're sitting in a chair that is not their chair. The light is not their light.
Right.
The canvas is not at the correct angle that it would be at home in the stitching stand or whatever. And so that's exhausting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're not in your normal spot. Now, when people come to class, do a lot of people bring their floor stands or tabletop or what? Is it just a mixed bag? What is it?
It's a mixture of everything. A lot depends on if they flew and how much baggage allowance they had, or if they drove and could put everything they owned in their car.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in my classes, we had floor stands, we had table stands, we had the quick release clamps so that they just clamp their canvas to the edge of the table, which is fine if you're short. If you're tall, I do not recommend it, because you're going to hunch over that canvas and you're going to be looking for the spa to have a massage before you leave seminar. And so, and the seminar, the national seminars, and I think regional seminars are doing the same thing. You cannot have anything that plugs in.
Right.
So you have to have a battery operated light. So a lot of them have their, you know, their battery power packs and the light that plugs into that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that, because, I've seen at our local Fox chapter, some people have purchased these packs because they go to a lot of these events.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are people bringing there's some pretty good sized battery packs that'll pretty much go all day. Is that what most people have? Is there a brand that stuck out to you, or?
No, there's not any particular brand that sticks out. There was an ad in the seminar brochure from, I think, the Greater Pacific region. They're selling a power block.
Oh.
As a fundraiser.
Oh.
And so, and it had USB ports and outlets and all kinds of stuff. I have no idea. I looked at it, but, you know, I'm the teacher. I get to plug stuff in. So, because there is not a power pack that exists that will run my projector and computer all day.
Well, I'll look that up and see if I can get a link, because if they're doing it as a fundraiser,
yeah,
you know, that would be better than Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Because I think it's got their logo on it or whatever, but it's, you know, it's for all of us who are going to seminars and we need a power pack to plug our stuff into. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was in the seminar brochure. And, you know, the seminar brochure is really, it has a schedule of events and it's got when the exhibit is open and all this other kind of stuff. But it also has a list of everybody who's there. So you can look and see, okay, I knew my friend Susie Doe was going to be here. Mm-hmm. And the seminar brochure, it tells you which class she's in. So you can go to her classroom and find her there.
Oh, okay. So they help people connect then.
They help people connect. And yeah. And I really like that, to look and see, do I know somebody who's here? Is there somebody here from my area? That kind of thing.
Right. Sure. Sure. Tell me about the exhibit. That I've not ever been to a seminar, so that's why I'm curious. But the exhibit is impressive.
Awesome. Yes, it's always awesome. Okay, so there are several different aspects of the exhibit. One aspect of the exhibit is people who have stitched something, and they put it in the exhibit for other people to see. And it's really interesting. Some of the, and you know, you look at things and think, I would never have thought of doing that. That's awesome.
Oh.
one of the big winners was Mary Alice Sinton. She did a rabbit named Artemis and needle felted the rabbit and then dressed him in an outfit that was all a whole bunch of different needlepoint stitches.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then there was someone who did a painted canvas of a lion, and the lion's mane was very three-dimensional. I mean, it was fuzzy to where you if you could have touched it, which you're not allowed to touch it, but if you could have touched it, you could have stroked the lion's mane. It was
wow. Awesome.
All kinds of, I mean, there are different awards that they give. They give a sampler award. They give a Halloween award. A Christmas Award, a Jean Hilton Award, a Princess Grace Award. The Princess Grace Award is a piece that is stitched entirely in tent stitch. It could be basket weave, continental, or half cross, but it's entirely in tent stitch with no embellishments. And the piece that won the Princess Grace Award was phenomenal. It was absolutely gorgeous. There's a Jean Hilton Stitch Award. There's a painted canvas with stitch guide. Painted canvas without stitch guide, you know, there's just wide, and then there's judge's choice, and all of those awards are presented at the opening banquet. And then at the closing banquet, everybody who goes through the exhibit is given a ballot. It's the delegate's choice. If you're a member of A&G, you're a delegate's choice. And then there's also a people's choice. So the exhibit is open to the public, and you can go through and pick out your favorite piece. And then the favorite piece of the People's Choice Award and the favorite piece is the Delegate's Choice Award. Those are awarded at the closing banquet.
Okay.
So
I want to see the one all done in tent stitch. Boy, that one.
Yeah.
I mean, well, any flaw is going to stick out. So yes. Well, any bump. Grace, oh, man.
It's named for Princess Grace of Monaco. She was a needle pointer, and all she did was basket weave. That was her, what she did. And she instituted this award, and you get this beautiful porcelain rose. When she was alive, Princess Grace presented the award on more than one occasion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, so it's pretty phenomenal. So that's one part of the exhibit is what people have stitched, and then they have put it on display. And, you know, of course, not everybody's going to get a prize, but it's a huge deal if you do. And the prize is a ribbon. Okay, it's not money or anything like it's a ribbon, but yeah. Whatever. I got a prize. I won a ribbon one year in the exhibit, and it is hanging now in my office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, so that's one part of the exhibit. Another part of the exhibit are stitched pieces that are correspondence courses, workshop by mail, things like that, so that you can look if your chapter is needing a project or you're wanting a project to do, and you can look at the various pieces. I think the pieces in the chapter project book are also on display. And so these are all things that your chapter could do or you could sign up for and take. And so that's always very interesting to see, because, you know, you look at a little picture in a magazine or on the website and you're thinking, maybe, but then you see it in person and you think, oh, wow, that's awesome. I would really like to learn how to do that.
Right.
Then the third part of the exhibit are the pieces for next year.
Oh, okay.
So you can see all of the teaching pieces that will be taught next year at seminar. So there's a lot to see, and a lot of people go through it.
This is this could be an all-day deal, just going to the exhibit. Wow.
And the exhibit is open to the public. I know specifically when we were in New Orleans, we had several people sign up to become members of A&G based on the exhibit, because we got some really good press and people came to see the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
The exhibit is open to the public. You do not have to be a member. You do not have to be a seminar attendee. All you have to do is show up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so that, you know, that's always good. It's a good display of the different kinds of needlepoint and what can be done with a needle and thread.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it sounds to me like inspiration on top of inspiration here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's completely amazing.
Mm. Wow.
So, yeah.
And a lot of pieces, I assume?
Not as many this year as there's been in the past, but there was a good number.
Mm-hmm. So it says it's got to be a powerful display. Wow.
Yeah, it's always fun to go through. It's always fun.
Now, people looking at next year, I assume on the A&G website is next year's projects?
I don't know if they're on the website yet or not, but I mean, the teachers, we've had our contracts for a long time.
Yeah.
And so you know, they have a professional photographer there to take pictures, because not just because you can design a good needlepoint project doesn't mean you can take a good picture of the needlepoint project.
Yes.
And so...
Yeah, that's been demonstrated more than once.
Yes. And so they have a professional photographer who takes pictures of all of the projects for next year, specifically for the website and the magazine. But I am not sure when they will be on the website.
I hope soon, if not there already.
I hope so, too. I'm going to be teaching three pieces next year. And I had a lot of very positive feedback from people who had been to the exhibit and saw my pieces and made a point to tell me, I'm signing up for two of them. I'm going to take all three. So, you know, that's always really gratifying.
Yeah.
Have a good response.
Yeah, because you had to have those done a long time ago, right?
Yes. The proposal process is interesting, because some teachers don't stitch the piece until the proposal has been accepted.
Oh.
And then they really have to rush to get the piece stitched and finished so it can be on display at seminar. I do things a little bit differently. I submit a picture of the finished piece.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just a line drawing or, oh, I may think about doing this or that or the other thing. I always give them a finished picture, a picture of a finished piece, because I think that's better for the selection committee.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
I think that increases my chances of being selected.
Yes. Well, there's that too. Yeah. Yeah, there's that too. Yep.
Because, you know, they can actually see what I'm talking about instead of, oh, maybe I'll do this, or, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, and, you know, I can't draw for nothing. And so if I had to do a line drawing, it would just be completely useless. It would look like stick figures. And so I'd rather submit a stitched piece.
You're better off. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it increases my chances.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and to that, and of course, we've talked numerous times about your teaching. I wanted to talk about, help people understand all the you know, teachers who teach at seminar, but the rest of the year, you guys do an awful lot of teaching at shops and A&G chapters. And you just did a class recently at the Fox chapter for your for one of your new designs. And for people who are interested in that, tell how that all works, and particularly when people read about can you ghost a class?
Okay.
And so that people can learn, because there's really, in addition to the seminar, there are a million different ways that you can take these classes and get in on the latest designs and get good, thorough instruction without having to go to a seminar or go somewhere.
Right. Okay. So ghosting means that you sign up for the class, you pay the fees, whatever the fees are, and it's not just the kit cost, because included in that will be the fees that the chapter has to recover from flying in the teacher and the lodging and stuff like that, and then mailing your kit. And so it's not just the kit fee. I want to make that clear, that there are associated costs for a class that all members of the class have to pay.
So, from my perspective, when Mary McGuire does one, there'll be an initial fee of $100 or $125 or something like that.
Yeah.
That gets you in. And then there's always that statement that the rest of it will be determined when we know how many people are coming to the class and we know the expenses for having the teacher come. And you know, some teachers only stay in hotels, so that's expense. Different arrangements.
Right.
And then when the class starts, then you get informed of the additional costs. So,
right.
Because, you'll look at that and you'll go, oh, it's only $125. I'm in.
No, it's not. I pay $200.
Yeah. Be careful there. Yes.
But, you know, I want people listening to understand that you are not buying a chart and kit. You are participating in a class.
Yes.
And that's different. And so after the class, when the teacher has brought all of the kits and canvas and charts and all of that stuff to the class organizer, usually when they arrive to teach the class, then the class organizer will mail out kits to the ghosts. And so you are not going to receive it in advance of the class. It's going to be after the class. But you still get it, and you get something that is not being offered anywhere else. You can't just walk into a shop and buy this, because most teachers have teaching projects that are only teaching projects that are not available for sale any other way. Now, when someone is a ghost in one of my classes, if they will email me, I will send them the videos that I use in my class presentation so that they can see what I'm going to show the class, and they can view it on their own screen at home when they're ready to stitch that part of the design, and they can review it as many times as they need to. Plus, I'm available to them by email, just as I would be for anybody else in the class, so that if they had questions or they didn't understand something or they needed a little more instruction about something, I would be available to them so that they could receive it.
So other than physically being in that classroom, you get all the benefits when you do a ghost thing.
Yes.
Yes.
You get all of the benefits. Now, seminars do not allow ghosts. You must go to seminar, national seminars and regional seminars. But if it's a chapter that's hosting a class, or if it's a shop that's hosting a class, a lot of times they will allow ghosts. And so, currently, I'm going to be teaching one of my projects called Adagio in the Chicago area first weekend in October, October 5th and 6th. And I asked the organizer, would you mind if I put it on my Facebook page? And probably 15 to 20 people have expressed an interest in ghosting the class. They're not in the Chicago area, but they would like to receive the kit, the chart, the videos, and all that other kind of stuff. And so I am putting them in touch with the class organizer. I did not want to put her email address on the World Wide Web. Mine is, but I'm a public, you know, because of business, and I'm more of a public figure. And so, you know, if someone is interested in taking Adagio October 5th and 6th, if they will email me, I will put them in touch with the class organizer, because I don't know what the class fee is.
Right. Do we know where, or can we say where this class is being held?
I'm sure that I know where it is, but I...
okay.
It's in the Chicago area. I know that much. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can find
it. Well, that narrows it down. I will say, folks, that adagio, when you posted that, I'm not sure I'd seen that one. I was like, you stopped me right in my tracks. That's beautiful. Yeah. And a good challenge, too. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. It is in Northbrook.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The group is Sassy Stitchers, and the workshop will be at Emily's Stitchery in Northbrook. It was formerly North Shore Needleworks.
Oh, that's right. It got sold. Okay. Know where that is. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
So if there's anybody in the Chicago area who would like to physically take the class, it's not too late to sign up. But if you would also like to ghost the class, if they will email me, I'll put them in touch with the class organizer.
And folks, it's not like Debbie doesn't pay attention. She has grandkids in the Chicago area, so, you know. She'll know where she's going when she has to be there, but there's grandkids, so there you have it.
Yes, I will start the trip and end the trip with the grandkids.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Brinley is the cutest four-month-old you've ever seen in your whole entire life. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Then I'm going to be teaching.
Who was it? That comedian, forget who it was, had a baby and said to the doctor, isn't that just the cutest baby you've ever seen? And the doctor said, well, top three for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. I understand it. Okay,
good out.
I'm going to be teaching in the Southern California area next year, I think in May or June. I'm not sure. And it's a piece. One of the pieces is I'm going to be teaching two classes. One is circle dance and the other one is mostly Amadeus. And so I just taught mostly Amadeus in the Baltimore area, and some of the students have finished their project and they're putting it on Facebook. And so the class organizer for that immediately hopped on it and said, we're going to do this. And if you want to ghost, be sure and let me know. I mean, she got right on it. So, mm-hmm. Opportunities, and I've taught at some shops that they did not allow ghosts. I've taught at other shops where they did. It just, you know, it depends on the class organizer. I can't say, oh, yes, I'm teaching this, and so if you want a ghost, be sure and let me know, because it's only if the hosting organization allows it.
Right. Well, and see, that's, and that applies to not just you, but everyone.
Every teacher.
And, yeah, and folks who want to know what's coming up, hunt down your local chapter, or really any chapter across the country, or your local shops, and they all have schedules for classes that are coming up. And that's the way you find out about these things. And many of the designers have a schedule on their websites, though in defense of all the designers, keeping up with that isn't always the top priority.
I'm telling you, social media is just...
Yeah.
It's a blessing and it's a complete time sink, because,
yes,
you know, I try to keep up with my blog, my Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter, and I could sit and do that and do nothing but that.
Right. Yeah, it's
tough. And get
tough.
Nothing else done.
Yep.
And so, you know, most of us are just busy doing things, you know, teaching or putting kits together or writing instructions or designing the next thing and stitching the next thing. And so, you know, if our websites are not completely up to date, please don't be mad at us. I'm just saying.
That's why I said, in defense of designers, it's tough to keep up. Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, another thing for people who want to know about these classes, find shops around the country who have newsletters and get on their list.
Subscribe
get on their
to
list.
The newsletter.
Yep.
I know that the Attic does a newsletter, and they have all kinds of classes, and Sassy Jacks has a newsletter, and there's a lot of shops. Deb at Stitches and Things has a newsletter. There's a lot of shops that have newsletters. where they have retreats and workshops and teachers coming in. There's all kinds of things happening.
Yeah, Jean Lee at the Attic, she long ago gave up on her website. I mean, that just holds a spot. But the newsletter, holy smokes, what last time was like 29 or 30 pages. That's what you get. Skip the website, just do the newsletter. Yeah. There's a ton of opportunity.
Yes,
to take classes.
There's a lot happening. There's a lot happening. And so, you know, if you see a project, hunt down the designer and ask. I mean, I get people email me all the time. Oh, I saw the picture of this project, and is it a teaching project? Is it available for sale, or, you know, whatever? And then I answer their emails and let them know it's a teaching project, and I'm not on the schedule anywhere, or it is on the schedule. This is where I'll be teaching it next, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep. And if you know your Needlepoint chapter, any chapter, these teachers often looking for places to teach, so. If you need something for your program coming up, or if you're putting together a program for next year, contact these teachers and they'll come and do a class. A lot of times at the Fox chapter, what we have done is we have had a teacher in over the weekend, and then it's planned so that following Tuesday is our regular meeting, and then that teacher stays on and does a presentation, a lecture of some kind at the meeting, so all the members can benefit from that. And that's a real, real excellent 1-2 punch, mm-hmm. where you can take a class from the teacher, and then that for us it's the Tuesday, and then they'll do some kind of a lecture on top of it, and it's a good way to meet teachers, and also a good way to get extra little hit. So there's just all kinds of ways to get these classes and in relative terms, get them inexpensively.
Because, you know, going to seminar is fabulous and everybody should go to seminar, but it's expensive. And it's also time consuming. Ghosting a class, you're going to get the same class that was taught at seminar. And we're under contract. We can't teach the classes that were at seminar for 6 months. But, you know, after 6 months, they're available. And so if there's something that, you know, don't look at it and go, oh, it was a one-shot deal, I missed my opportunity. No, there will be other opportunities.
Right. Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk about this this week, I just don't think people appreciate or realize how many opportunities, not just needlepoint, cross-stitch, all manner of things that you can get classes. Ghost them, take them online, you know, local chapters, Embroidery Guild, I assume does the same kind of thing.
Yes.
All kinds of ways to get classes and learn from these experts and not spend a fortune. And, yeah, so take advantage of it. You know, go out, seek these things out. It's not hard to get on a mailing list for a newsletter. And on top of it, you might even learn something from the newsletter. A lot of really good newsletters with little tips in them and that kind of thing. It's well worth it. So,
absolutely. And, you know, most of us, when we stitch, it's a very solitary activity. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
And when you stitch with other people, even if it's virtual other people online or, you know, ghosting or whatever, you're still going to, I think it adds something to the enjoyment of the stitching.
Yes. Yep. Well, that's just it. You could ghost a class and get four or five friends together and, you know, we're going to meet every other Tuesday and trade homes and work on this
project.
And put the video up on the TV and learn from it. Yeah. Make an event for yourself.
Well, sure. And, you know, I know that like some of the classes I've taught through Shining Needle Society, I've had several people indicate to me that that one or two of their friends were signing up as well, and they were all going to get together and work on it together.
Yeah. Yep. All kinds of ways. Yep.
Yep.
Don't have, especially for people who don't have a shop near them.
Yes, or a chapter.
Yep.
It, you know, if you don't have a shop or a chapter, you still are not isolated because the whole world is online and you can find an online community to stitch with.
Yep. Yeah, these days there's ton of ways to connect with people and stitch. All right. Last time we talked, we did, actually it was probably 2 times ago because I don't know. Anyway, recently when we talked, well, see, we get on these things and then we never do the things we plan on. So,
yeah. Well, and I don't know if you do this with Arlene and with.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Where we talk for an hour before we start the podcast.
Yes. Yes. Happens every time. Yeah. 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 The discussion, yeah, there's an hour before and not unusual for it to be 15 or 20 minutes afterwards. Yeah. It's recording these Wednesday shows is an event. It really
it's
is.
An all-day sucker. It really is.
Yep. Yep, it is. So we had this list of stuff, advice for beginners.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm pretty sure we didn't get to, because I thought I had written them down, but I checked them off anyway. But I wanted to talk about, you know, we talk about all these gadgets. And here we were talking about at seminar, people having lights and power banks to drive their lights. And some people brought stands and some people brought clamps and tabletop holders and so on and so forth. And we've had this discussion, or at least I have, with different people. But this whole concept of all the gear you have to have, you know, it have to have in quotes, to do needlework. And it stops me every time that we do this. It runs through my head. We talk about all the gear. And, you know, I'm just guilty as the next one. I've got a table full of stuff downstairs. You really don't have to.
No, you really don't have to. And, you know, when I first started stitching, I didn't have any of that stuff. Now, it makes life easier. And as we get older and our eyes get tireder, you know, then we want more light. We want more magnification. As our hands and shoulders don't wear as easily, it's convenient to have a stitching frame and a stand to hold your canvas or your stretcher bars or your hoop or whatever it is so that you don't have the hand fatigue from holding the material while you're stitching. So they're things that make life easier, but they're not absolutely essential.
No. And I think it's a barrier that we put up unintentionally to new stitchers.
Yeah. You know, they think, oh my gosh, I don't have $900 to invest in all of this stuff. And well, you don't need to.
No.
You really don't need to. It's like cooking, okay? I have a KitchenAid stand mixer. I love the thing. I can make meringue for pie in about 3 minutes.
Yep.
But when we lived in Germany, I did not have a KitchenAid stand mixer. I had a stainless steel bowl and a whisk. And it took a lot longer.
And arm muscles.
It took a lot longer, but I still made meringue. So, you know, it's like that. A stitching stand will make it easier for you, but you can still stitch without it.
Yep. Yeah, and if you shed all of that stuff, it makes needlework a whole lot more portable too.
Yes, exactly.
I talk a good game. I don't play it worth a hoot, but I talk a good game.
Oh, you know, I know a lot of people that have a travel project, and it's usually something that's small in hand, and they keep it in their car or they keep it in their carry-on bag, and, you know, it's just something that they can hold and stitch.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I have a travel project, but then I also have a tabletop stand and a light with a magnifier. I'm terrible, but you know, whatever. But you know, I look at that and you look at young mothers who are hauling kids all over the place, waiting to pick them up. Yeah, you like you said, put something in the car, pull it out of the center console, and 10 minutes while you're waiting for the kids gives you a little escape for just a little bit. Yeah,
exactly, and. I I used to stitch in the car waiting for my kids at soccer practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that parental downtime. I hate to think how many total hours waiting for our two kids were band kids.
Yeah.
Waiting for pickup, especially this time of year, football season, marching band, evening rehearsals, and you got to go wait.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Yep.
And two in choir.
Oh, there's another one. Yep.
And church activities.
Oh, yes.
And scouts.
Yep. Yeah. All those things. And if they're meeting somewhere where it doesn't pay you to drive home. Yeah.
Yeah. You just sit.
Yep. Haul out your stitching. Make use of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could, play a game on your phone or you could get something done. So.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was this morning. That phone thing, I'm starting to monitor that. I got up at 5 o'clock to leave at 6 o'clock for a bike ride. And I didn't leave till 6:10. And I realized it's because I was sitting there staring at Instagram for way too long.
Yeah,
that's got to stop. Because I should have been out at 6 when the first light was up so I could get my ride in. And yeah, that's got to stop. And then I was thinking on my ride, I was up at 5. I could have easily been on the road at 5:30. It's just that it was dark and I didn't want to go. And I sat there.
Yeah.
I could have put in 20 or 30 stitches easy. And I didn't. And I was sitting in the recliner with the stitching stand right behind me and staring at Instagram. I gotta get the priority shifted a little bit because that was not productive time.
Yeah. See, and the issue that I've got right now is I'm designing a new project that will be going through the proposal process for next year, for 2 years from now. And what I had planned to do, it didn't work out. So now I'm having to completely revamp and I'm having to draw everything out on the computer and I can't stitch because it's not ready to stitch. Uh-huh. I have all the threads pulled. I have the canvas mounted on the stretcher bar sitting on my frame and I'm sitting there going, I want to stitch and I can't. Because I got to get it finished, the design part of it finished before I can actually start stitching. I know. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
And all the people at seminar are stitching away except for the teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And we like to stitch. That's why we do what we do. We like it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Can't get to it.
Can't.
Yep. Yeah. This morning I was on that bike and I said, you idiot. You wasted a better part of a half hour.
Yeah.
Staring at Instagram. That's just, it's got to shift. It's too easy to pick up that phone and just mindlessly scroll.
Yeah. We need to think of it like candy. A little bit of candy is good. And I don't want to live life without the thought of, you can never have candy ever again. But you need to be moderate with it. You can't sit down with a whole bag of M&Ms and eat the whole bag of M&Ms at one time. It's better if you have a few here and then maybe, two or three after supper or whatever.
Tell it, Debbie. Tell it. Go ahead. Preach. Preach, Debbie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all things in moderation.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a big proponent of, you can never do this or, you shouldn't do that or things like that. All things in moderation.
Yeah, give me a half pound of chocolate covered raisins and tell me to do it in moderation. Yep.
Oh, well, see, now I like the Dove. Chocolate covered cherries and cranberries.
Oh, Debbie.
I can only eat one or two of those at a time. If I eat more than that, it's kind of pukey because they're really rich, but it's a little bit of chocolate. It's a little chewy, sweet. It's enough to have just one or two.
Yeah. Margaret gets the Dove dark chocolate little blobs.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. Good chocolate is more satisfying than cheap chocolate.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
So, you can eat one or two pieces of a good chocolate like Godiva's or Dove's or whatever. And it would take a whole lot more of a less expensive chocolate to satisfy that urge.
Yes. Yeah. A Dove, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went for a while where we just said, we're not buying any more of those. But they're back in the drawer now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like sneaking one or two of those little chocolate covered cherries.
Yeah. And, well, and you know the deal because you're at home. You're at home too, like we are all day. Yeah. And oh, okay. Man. Yeah. Yeah. Walk so, by. Oh, so, it's just one. And then you realize at the end of the day it was five all day.
Well, dang, it's gone. Yeah, no, so, you know, don't beat yourself up for looking at Insta. I mean, just put yourself on a diet for it. Say, okay, and set a timer, 10 minutes, and then I'm up.
Yeah, I gotta change the priority. That was awful. It was just awful. Okay, that's going to be it.
Okay.
Hey, we got our list of things for, we got one. So we're going to call it that. That's pretty good.
Hey, we're doing great.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, folks, there's a list for every one of these shows. And yeah.
As much as it seems like we're completely unprepared.
Yeah. There is a lot of prep that goes into it.
I promise you, we're not.
Sunday's guest, Taya Doig.
Oh.
Victoria Sampler.
Fun. She's great.
Yeah, just record. Well, this is Tuesday we're recording. I just recorded it this morning. Had to cut it off at an hour and 5 minutes. And
yeah,
there was 2 hours plus in that. So she'll be returning.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
Oh, yeah. That was a great conversation. So that's Sunday. Needleminders are available. Thanks, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Thanks for listening.